Clicks, 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 they'll do anything to get a few. Tick, 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 that's the sound before my head explodes. Quick, 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 look at you up on your pedestals. Quick, 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 hear the critics come, it's time to go. I read your article, it kinda hurt me. I don't know who hired you or what your friends say in your circle, but the fact that you released it tells me two things are for certain. They get paid for trashing people, I get paid cause I stay working. Drop the search and they emerge up out of nowhere to the surface. Just a peek behind the curtain, throwing salt at all my burdens. I'm aware I shouldn't give this my attention. Life's a journey, I should just stay on my path and learn to laugh. You think they heard me? Ears are burning, put them out. Quiet, quiet, look around. Why don't they find someone way more interesting to write about? Us, we're kinda boring, aren't we? All we do is whine and pout. It's confusing, so amusing how I argue with myself. Hello.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's Cup with Gup Movers and Shakers, the API edition for the PGA Tour. It's a Wednesday morning here. Hope everything's going well with you guys. Been a good research week. Probably was a little less, I guess I could say, prepared than normal on a Monday with everything going with the site conversion. But feel good about where I'm at now. Kind of got to work through some ownership stuff before I get those posted later on this afternoon, and then final thoughts and E9. Looking forward to all that. Definitely think a week where many different strategic options out there that I think people could go to. Two studs approach, fade the whole 10K, mix, blend. Maybe just one, 10K. Maybe a nine, and then down to the scrubs hybrid type deal. All different ways that I think people are going at it. As far as overall thoughts on the tournament, not much has changed for me. I don't think, I kind of mentioned this Monday, I think the weather will be a factor. I just don't really think it's going to be a factor leading into the weekend, like Thursday and Friday, which obviously our first concern is getting 6 of 6 through. Mathematically easier 6 of 6 to make, but it still doesn't guarantee that we're going to have an easy 6 of 6 or a high 6 of 6. You could just because more op than not, but could still have a low one or two shot guys bust, and it could be a super low 6 of 6. Right now Thursday and Friday look really good. I don't think there'll be a ton of wind. I'm not sure. I've listened to a few of the pressers. That's on my list before I wrap up final thoughts, to see if early in the week some of the things you saw posted on Twitter and whatnot was stating, feels firm, and if that course is firm, it does play a little harder regardless of the wind. I think today it's actually going to be, a good test to see what guys feel of the course. A little bit of rain came through last night and this morning. I think they even had an hour delay because of lightning this morning. Thursday and Friday, though, just look good. I think there'll be scoring conditions. I think it'll be a much higher cut line than last year. None of that's really changed. Saturday, we got some potential rain, wind picking up throughout the day. It's almost 100% chance right now. So we're going to have rain. It's just a matter of when and where and how much does it move the guys around. Impossible to predict for, as far as pre-tournament. Something we'll keep in mind as we get ready for showstoppers and the showdown slates. But after that, as the wind picks up throughout the day, Sunday, no rain at all in the forecast. So they'll get the tournament in by Sunday for sure, even if they have to go split tees all weekend. Sunday will be the strongest wind of the week, so it's kind of a difficult situation where you go, where do you want to move? Do you want to move, focus on who can get it done in the harder scoring conditions post-cut, or let me get my 6 of 6 through and kind of let it play out? I'm kind of blending that a little bit. I mean, if your guy doesn't make it on the weekend, doesn't matter how he can perform. And your elite's up there at the top, that's really irrelevant to them. But maybe you think one or the other can cause one of those guys to struggle if they make the weekend. But for me, I'm more focusing on probably an even cut to, I can see it +1 to -1. Last year it was +3. I really think probably even gets it. I'd probably lean minus one over plus one right now. I think the leaders could be close to 9 or 10 under going into the weekend, and then, you know, 12 to maybe 14 under will win it. I don't think there'll be because I think Sunday's going to play super difficult, similar to last year. I don't think it'll be as hard both day. Last year, like, all 4 days were pretty difficult, and Saturday and Sunday were extremely difficult. The interesting thing will be how much of the tournament gets moved from Saturday to Sunday, if any at all. And then that forces guys to have to play in the strongest winds pretty much all day Sunday and play multiple holes over it. You know, they could play 24, 28 holes, something we'll keep in mind for showdown for sure. But pre-tournament, not much there. But I do have it playing a hair easier. I think I had 9 to 11 under for the winter. I think it'll probably be 12 to 14, so not too much harder. As far as stats and everything, I'm pretty much the same as I was Monday. I'm still focusing on kind of everything I mentioned then on the pod. Not a lot has changed for me in general. You know, course history, as I mentioned Monday, for guys, seems to matter here more than not. But even those guys with strong history seem to still have a miscut here out of nowhere, a miscut there out of nowhere. So for me, on the, you know, who moved up, you know, I'm going to go through the same as always, keep this about 15 minutes. Who moved up, who moved down, a couple sleepers or under the radar, the leverage play of the week, my final five for one and done. For two of my contests, I'll pick two of these five, and then the third one I kind of keep to myself. Could still come from that five, though. And then I'll announce the winners. I got five winners picked for giveaways today for your YouTube comments. Go ahead and get in it again. I'll be giving away. We have a lot going on all this week into next week for the players. I'll have tons of promos and giveaways going on. I mentioned, you know, rate and review us on iTunes. People that do that will be in the drawing next week. And one of the drawings will be specifically for rate and review us on iTunes. If you can't remember if you've done it, or if you have, go do it again. It'll accept it. And even if you've already been in there, I'll still see it, and you're still in there. So go ahead and leave us a comment. Give us a 5-star. Hopefully you like us enough to give the 5-star. And then subscribe on YouTube, click the like button on this video, leave in the comments your pick to win the tournament outright for now. Who's your favorite play to win? Price doesn't matter. Dollars don't matter. And that'll get you into my next drawing as well as we get through the weekend. I may do a showdown drawing, or I'll have plenty for the players next week as we try to kind of promote the website. We had a ton of good feedback, small hiccups here and there. I'm really pleased with the crossover. The new green machine will come out probably Sunday night. For sure, by the time we're even thinking about building lineups Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, it's going to be – I don't know how much we're going to add to it right out the gate. There will be a ton of enhancements already built into it, but we're going to continue to improve it. But the new version of it you guys will really, really like. I have a laundry list of things that I've talked to Bobby about that I want in it, and we'll see how much we can get in by Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. He's brought some things to the plate that I didn't even think about that's going to be super awesome. I can't wait for you guys to see the new and improved Green Machine lineup generator. So moved up for me, Coke Rack is number one. Moved up almost 30 spots or so in the rankings. I think he'll be owned, you know, in that 13 to 16% range, not just grossly, you know, chalky. For the most part, a lot of these guys in these areas are pretty spread out and compact. I think there's probably going to be 5 to 7 key positions in the ownership this week. We had a lot of ownership discussion yesterday in Slack, which was good. I'm going to talk about this on E9 on some of the stuff I want to generate with that Slack talk. But, you know, I thought, you know, I don't want to eat a chalky Coke Rack. He's killed me before, but really played well here. Only one miscut. As you deep dive into the stats, he's 22nd in my course fit rankings out the gate. And then he's 12th in the deep dive. So even bumped up for the course fit for me. Rolling stats, he's 9th. So deep dive. So really like Coke Rack this week. Hope he kind of stays around that 14 to 16% range. I don't mind playing him there. Even if I'm level to the field, that's fine. I don't necessarily need to get overweight on him, but I don't mind that. He does go out early tomorrow as well. I like that. Probably a potential first round leader on my card I'll release a little bit later. My next one is Keith Mitchell, Killer Keith, Bermuda. specialist. Not only that, but he has a good track record in Florida. Obviously, won the Honda. We were there that year when he just had the nuts putt on 18. Looked like he was going to go to a playoff with, I believe, Brooks and Fowler. And that was the year that we got on Palmer very, very early Sunday morning because the winds were picking up. And Palmer shot like 8 under or something on that day alone. Missed the putt on 18. If he'd have made it, would have been in that same playoff. But you know, one thing I remember about that day is the winds picked up. The scoring was hard later in the day, which was most of Keith's round. So I'm not too afraid of him. Plus, he's finished 5th and 6th there. So not going to overthink it. I know, you know, the recent form hasn't been all that, but for 6,700, this is his kind of deal. If he's not going to perform here, where is he? Worth the chance. I got him 3-5% max owned. I like Keith Mitchell. Moved up a lot in my rankings. Aaron Wise kind of was on that bubble for me on Monday. I'm going to go to him. I mean, he's 2% owned right now on my projections. 1.9 to be exact. He's got an early tee time tomorrow. You know, probably the putting is the biggest concern for me, but he has had success at times on Bermuda. When you go into the research center on Gubb's Corner and look at his last 24, 48 rounds, you can kind of pick and choose where it's shown up. He moved up to 10th on my deep dive on stats, 26th on deep dive course history, 6,700 again, another low price, low owned guy that I don't mind taking a piece of this week. Some of these guys give you an option of doing that double studs up top if you want, or maybe you cram 3 9K guys. I have more 6K guys on my eyes than I did Monday for sure. Move down for me, Fitzpatrick. Tons of steam on yesterday's podcast review. Still have a couple to get through this morning, but you know, in general, I try to listen to, I don't know, 8 to 12 as much as I can. I really think he'll be one of the higher owned. I think him and Hovland will be definitely in the top three between the two, and they could be 1-2. A few others that are there, but and I don't mind him at all. I just, there's going to be spots in the field this week. We got to take, you know, pick and choose where you really want to absorb that ownership. And he's just one I'll pass on. I know the putter's super hot. Deep dive rolling stats for me. He moved to 82nd. He moved down 17 spots in my final ranks. The putting is still number one. So yeah, he can do it. He's got the prototype to be good here. That's probably why. I mean, he's top three. He's just someone I moved down that I'd rather go to other spots around him in this situation. If you play him, I certainly don't hate it. It's not a play where I'm like, I don't think he does well. I just hope he doesn't do as well as the $9,800 price tag and the ownership gives off. If he finishes 22nd, that's fine. I'll take my chances, you know, fading that situation. The other one is Hovland. Like I just mentioned, I think he's, I would be shocked if he's not the most owned tomorrow. And at 10-6, I listened to his presser, didn't get any negativity out of that. Actually liked him probably a hair more. But he has struggled at times. I know, and he even mentioned so much of his game has improved in this situation than where it was. But when you're talking about where he's priced at and who you want to get to, you know, if he was a lower owned up there, everybody's like, oh, 10-6, I'm not going to pay that for Hovland. I actually kind of like that situation. But when I'm talking about Rory, Bryson, even Hatton, Reed, he's a guy that I'm okay taking a chance on not returning his value at 10-6 this week. Mentioned before, he struggled. He doesn't like Bermuda. Doesn't mean he can't do good on it. He obviously did last week. Definitely nailed a lot of putts last week. Said his putter feels as good as it has, and he can see the putts. So all that's positive, but there is a lot of up and down potential here if he's not hitting it well. He is hitting it well now, but if he gets off in a hurry, like he's better around the green, but he's still not anywhere remote in the top or in this field. So there's enough there at his price tag and ownership for me to take the chance to kind of be off him this week and just hope he kind of – I mean, again, if he finishes 19th, 17th in this field, that doesn't kill me as long as – you know, we talk – this is something I'll talk about on E9. As long as the people I move to are the right pivots. If I move to someone just to pivot because they're less owned and they don't do shit, the pivot doesn't really matter. So you still have to make the right moves off of him. If you love him and he grades out great for everybody, play him. Just make other moves elsewhere. Sleepers under the radar for me coming in here on Wednesday morning. First one's Peter Malinotti. Kind of caught my eye. Not really a guy I played normally. Got him sub 2% again, $6,500. He moved up 14 spots in my final ranks. Hasn't played this course. That's probably the one negative, I guess, if you'd say that. But at 6,500, I'm willing to take that chance on some, in a, especially in MME field. 20th in my deep dive rolling stats, 5th in my deep dive putting. Enough there to take a chance on him. I like him as a low-owned sleeper under the radar. And next one's Lowry. There is reason to be concerned here. 2 missed cuts. When you go look at his deep dive numbers in the research center, he has one round out of those 4 that's really bringing it all the way down. He's actually 33rd in my course fit deep dive model, so not horrible. $7,600. He may be sub 1%. I don't know. Many will own him. But when you profile, I really think Lowry could do well here. There is some risk. There may be a factor he doesn't like this place or doesn't do well in it. But at a sub 1%, even if he gets a 2% ownership, you know, that's not much. We don't have to go play him 14, 15%. You can have 6%. You may be 3, 4, 5x the field. Certainly a guy that's on my radar for MMEs this week. My leverage play of the week is Jason Day. I got him probably in that 5 to 7% range. Deservedly so. I mean, he's worrisome. He's withdrawn the last 2 years. He really stayed about where I had him originally in the pool. It was between him and Spieth for the leverage play. I think Spieth will still get steamed up as the day goes on into tomorrow and be, you know, probably 4 to 5 percentage points higher than Day, maybe 2 to 5, somewhere in there. I feel confident Day will be under 7% owned. So he's kind of fitting that. You know, last week, I believe it was Matsu, which panned out. We've had Spieth. We've had Brooks. So this leverage play has really done well over the last several weeks. So let's keep it rolling with Jason Day as my leverage play of the week. My final 5 for one and done is Rory, Bryson, Spieth, Sungjae, and Day. So I will take 2 of those, will be my picks, and then I'll have a 3rd pick that may still come from that 5 or another one. I just kind of leave that option open to me as we are competing against each other there. But that'll be my final 5 after I've looked at everything this week. Our winners, $50 DFS money is Kyle Richmond. Just DM me on Slack if you're a member, if you're not on Twitter, and I'll tell you how to get your prizes. Gup's Corner combo pack gear winners is Scotty Knipp, Eric May, and Lazurko 1887. And then a master item that I will send you from the Masters that I got last year in their kind of store giveaway they did since no one could go. I have several items. I will send you an item. Is Donald Rega. So I hope I said that right. Awesome for you guys. Appreciate it. Sorry I missed last week on that. Have plenty more coming. Help us out. Like, subscribe to YouTube. Rate and review us on iTunes. Have a blessed day, and I will see you premium members later on this afternoon for 89. Thank you.